ball is high, it is far, it is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Today is Wednesday, October 8th, 2025, as of the recording of this podcast. Welcome to the Nosebleeds, WFUV Sports' exclusive home for all the news around Major League Baseball. I am Tucker Austin, joined today by Alex Diaz, Brogan DiCerto, and Vanessa Casuto. Max Perlman is on the board for us this afternoon. We have a packed show. We got two American League Division Series. We've got two National League Division Series to get into. As of the last episode, I believe none of these series had gotten going yet. The Yankees were in the middle of a slog against their bitter rivals, the Boston Red Sox, that they got out of. The Yankees got out of the American League wild card against the Red Sox in three games. The rest of the series as they stand now are the Toronto Blue Jays and the New York Yankees, and then the Seattle Mariners or the Detroit Tigers in the American League. On the National League side, it's the Milwaukee Brewers and the Chicago Cubs, and then the Philadelphia Phillies and the Los Angeles Dodgers. We'll get into all of those series as they stand now, as of this recording. But before we get into things, how's everybody doing today? Alex, we'll start with you. I know, talking before the show, I know we're both nervous about the Yankees tonight, because Game 4 with the Blue Jays is this evening. I will be there, so will Chris Carino, one of our other Yankee beat reporters, but what's the vibe going into tonight?
Well, first of all, I'm a little tired because the game last night was a bit late for my liking. I'm a fan of late. I'm a good, 6 o'clock start.
It is about postseason games. But
it's just annoying.
They just run so much longer than the average from the regular season.
They do. But in terms of tonight, yeah, I'm feeling nervous, but I felt nervous yesterday too. So hopefully that means good things. Obviously, Cam Schiller had a great start last time out. Hopefully that continues tonight, but will be an exciting one to watch, and hopefully one that we walk away saying we're heading to Game 5 in Toronto.
Vanessa, how you doing?
I'm good. Just very, very, very nervous like you guys are. I'm excited to see Cam pitch tonight. I'm just a little stressed as far as the pitching goes, just because Fried and Rodon had great pitching last series too, and now they also both did not do great, but seeing all the hitting that happened yesterday and just all the clutchness, I'm just hoping that, you know, we get a good positive outcome.
Very, a lot of clutchness, we can say, ice in the veins. Aaron Judge finally got his moment. We will get into that. Brogan, how are you doing though?
I'm good. Similarly to Alex, I'm very tired from going to the game last night. Got home around 1 a.m., which, late night, but back right up today. Big game tonight.
Yeah, imagine how the Yankees feel.
Yeah.
After, playing a game like that, coming from behind and then winning, but it was a full team effort and a full battle to get back into that game and to win it. So now, come out less than 24 hours from the start of the game last night. Game last night started at 8. Tonight it starts at 7.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's got to play in for them, too.
For sure.
Let's get into this first series. The New York Yankees and the Toronto Blue Jays. First two in Toronto did not go well in any way, shape, or form from the perspective of the New York Yankees. Luis Gil got tagged up in the first game. Second game, Max Fried comes in as the stopper, had an excellent record and ERA all season after a Yankee loss. But this start looked a little bit like that stretch after the All-Star game when Fried started to kind of lose his touch a little bit. Yeah, he also got tagged in that second game. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. did a Jose Bautista in magnitude, not in context. Obviously, the Bautista homer came in a tie game in the seventh. And really changed everything, because that was that was game 5 of that ALDS 2, I believe. So not the same situation as the Bautista homer, but I mean, there's a drive to deep left field, no doubt about it. Like I said the call out loud when I watched that ball leave the yard. It was a very traumatic moment for me. But yeah, either way, I mean, even the Expos social media team, which the Montreal Expos don't exist anymore, but they still have a Twitter account. They posted the Quebecois call of the home run.
Honestly, like, love that for them.
I do too. I think it'd be really cool if the Montreal Expos came back, but like it just kind of added to the pile. At least coming from a Yankee fan perspective. Game three, though, so huge that the Yankees got this one. Obviously, it was to save the season, save the series, but I think it's even more important that they went down again. They go down as much as 6-1 after the top of the third. The Blue Jays' record this year, they had 4 losses when scoring 5 or more runs the whole season, and that's including the 2 games that they had played before game three in the postseason. But the Yankees handed them their 5th loss when they score 5 or more runs. We could get into really any part of this game, but I think we should look particularly at that 4th inning when the Yankees fully brought it back, tied the game, got set up by a couple of errors, which, I mean, like, you'll take bases any way you can get them. But Aaron Judge, oh my goodness. If there were any doubters left about Judge's ability to hit in October, I think they're gone. I think they're just gone at this point. What do you guys think? Are the doubters silenced now with this home run?
Yeah, the doubters are silenced. It was nice to hear on the post game last night, hear David Ortiz actually say the Yankees win for
he
a
did
change.
Yeah, he did. That he also dapped up Derek nice. Jeter, which I thought was hilarious.
But yeah, I mean, Aaron Judge, he's unstoppable. He is the MVP. There were loud MVP chants in the stadium last night. Every time he came to bat, he got a standing ovation when he ran back out into the field after his big home run. And yeah, I mean, I think he's solidified himself this year at least as one of the best postseason hitters. And maybe if he just keeps going, if he brings the Yankees back from the claws of defeat, I think he could solidify himself as one of, if not the greatest Yankees of all time.
Well, they had their backs against the wall in the Red Sox series, right? You drop that first game, suddenly it's win or die, and then they won the next 2 games. Similar situation now in this ALDS. They go down, lose the first 2 games, back against the wall once again. But I kind of heard it in the post-game interview with Judge on the field. They asked him, like, how he kind of handles that situation, what's the mentality, and he talked about the back against the wall mentality and about, like, really playing with, I suppose you could say, with nothing to lose, although, like, I mean, the Yankees kind of always have something to lose, right? Like, exiting the playoffs is the thing to lose. But you look at Judge's postseason numbers now through 6 games this year, a .500 batting average, 11 hits, a homer, 2 doubles, 3 walks, 3 runs batted in, 5 runs scored on his own. Even if you look at the postseason appearances for him before this season, I feel like, is this a moment where this postseason particularly now makes up for everything?
I mean, I don't know. I think my thing here, and this has just been the frustration for the past 2 series, it's really just the point where it's getting to the point where they have to have their backs against the wall. Like, I just wish that they could just get ahead instead of it being such a high-stakes situation. Like, clearly they can
handle it. It would help my blood pressure.
Oh, everybody. Every Yankee fan's blood pressure, or someone who is just rooting for the Yankees because their team is not in the playoffs or whatever.
Which is nobody.
Which is really nobody.
I feel like there's a handful.
No.
There might be a handful.
Maybe. I don't know. But my point is that, you know, I don't like how they keep falling behind. I don't like when it's like, you know, it's just like one game and then there's a little bit of adversity. I feel like that's their struggle. And that's kind of what worries me, is if they move on to the ALCS and even the World Series, which I hope happens. But I'm just at the point where I'm like, you know, why do we have to wait till our backs are literally against the wall to actually do something.
And not only in the series, but like also in the game. That, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, the first two games, they would go down by huge margins. First game, never woke up. Second game, offense woke up at the end. They put up a 7 spot late in the game, but it was all for naught because the Blue Jays had tacked on so many runs earlier on. And then last night, too, they go down 6-1, and at that point, you're now fully relying on the offense. You're relying on the bats to get you back into that game because, I mean, like, The Blue Jays' bullpen isn't necessarily anything to write home about, and their rotation definitely isn't because their rotation is 2 pitchers. But I still think that like it's a major league level bullpen. They have some really talented guys in there who throw gas.
Mm-hmm.
Stanton has looked lost the entire postseason.
He looks like Judge last year.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like
but
the roles are reversed.
Except slightly later to the ball, but in every scenario. It doesn't matter if it's 100 miles an hour, if it's like 80 miles an hour and like breaking away from him. He is always late for some reason. But I feel like so game 2, bats wake up a little bit. Game 3, bats are fully awake and actually win them the game, but the starting pitching at least has not been there for the Yankees in this series. Cam Schlittler easily had the best performance of a Yankee pitcher in the wild card series, even better than Max Fried's performance in game 1, which sure, if he stayed in that game, he might have had like a better performance than Schlittler, but I still think Schlittler just far and away dominated the Red Sox. He didn't have a great game against the Blue Jays last time that he pitched against them, but I still think it's going to be more of a recency thing. Like, his last start, he went out and just exposed the Red Sox lineup. I don't know if he's going to be able to do the same thing to the Blue Jays, but I think he should give the Yankee offense enough of a chance to put a dent in the Blue Jays. It's a bullpen game. Put a dent in the Blue Jays bullpen. Alex, can the Yankees rely on the bats? Can they rely on the bats? I think they can because we've seen them be able to do it so far. But I suppose, Vanessa's concern is that they go down big early and then they're forced to rely on the offense. But is relying on the offense that bad of a thing when the offense is as good as it is?
Yeah, I don't think it's that bad of a thing you expect with the New York Yankees. Go back to the first 3 games of the year when they put up 20-something runs. You're expecting that this team can go out there and hit, and they have done that these past 2 games. I think the second game of the series was huge, even though they lost, but it shows that they can come back from being behind. You're down, 13-1 at some point. You're able to score those runs to get back in the game, and that's the same thing with this game yesterday. Yeah, you never want to see your team, the one that you root for, to be down in a game that badly, but they never really fell off their plan of getting hits. It wasn't about relying on home runs because they just weren't. It was about getting line drives, getting on base. It was like the next man up mentality a couple years ago, and it was just, okay, what can you do? How can we do it? And I think that was a perfect example of that last game. And I think tonight, if they can come out, do that same exact thing, it shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, so not necessarily banking on a gem from Cam Schlittler. He could probably come out after maybe 4 or 5 innings, if he's starting to get some traffic on the base paths or his pitch count gets up there. I am not really that concerned with this Yankee bullpen anymore, outside of guys like Luke Weaver, who have just been in a really weird place. But you got appearances from Fernando Cruz last night. You got one from Camilo Doval. 5 Yankee relievers combined for 0 runs over 6 2/3 innings pitched in relief of Carlos Rodon, who got really roughed up. But 3 hits allowed over that 6 2/3 by the bullpen and 9 strikeouts. This is a Blue Jays team that does not strike out that much.
No.
9 strikeouts in the back end of the game from the bullpen is so huge. It's what allowed the offense to put things together, and then once the game was tied, continue to tack on. The Jazz Chisholm home run, I think, was really huge because the Yankee offense has... It's odd. Sometimes they'll get back into a game and then just completely cool off. But Jazz Chisholm putting that solo shot on the board kind of kept the ball rolling for the offense,
kept the
I think.
Kept,
yeah.
Exactly. Kept the momentum. But yeah, game 3, really good team win. Tonight, though, game 4, 7:08, I think it is.
Yeah.
A little bit after 7 at Yankee Stadium. Yankees are trying to force a game 5, send it back to Toronto. Tonight it's Cam Schlittler, as we've already mentioned, against, it was to be determined last night for the Blue Jays, but they have since announced that their starting pitcher, or I suppose their opener, is going to be Lewis Varland,
yes.
Which is interesting because they like to go to Varland. I'm not sure if they've opened with Varland a lot this year when
once.
They've needed to once, but it's interesting to me because Varland took the loss last night.
Yeah.
Varland gave up the home run to Judge on a 100-mile-an-hour fastball at his hands. That's something that, yeah, I'm kind of sorry we didn't touch on that before. 100 miles an hour at your hands? Who does that?
Yeah.
That's especially a freakish home run.
Especially on an 0-2 pitch. Like,
where he just got beat by a fastball.
Yeah.
He comes back with a fastball again in on your hands, and Judge just spins his entire upper body to get his hands to the baseball and fires it out to left field. Greg Bird home run, anyone?
Yeah, for sure.
The Greg Bird home run from 2017. Other direction, opposite handed, but very similar home runs. And similar energy with the 2-0 deficit first game back at home in the series. But Lewis Varland tonight, it could get interesting. Judge is clearly already on his fastball. Don't expect him not to be today. But I mean, with it being a bullpen game, I think the door is kind of open for the Yankees to force this game 5. The Blue Jays bullpen has been probably their weak point in this series, if there is one. Like, their starters have usually kept the Yankees at bay, and then once the Yankees get into the bullpen, things start to get a little bit more interesting for the Yankees offensively. So I guess we can go around here with predictions for this game 4, although I feel like we're pretty clearly leaning towards a Yankee win here. I think the Yankees can do it just based on, like, everything is set up tonight for them to win, for them to force game 5. Send it to Toronto. Who knows what's going to happen in game 5?
Anything can happen in game 5.
Anything can happen in a game 5/7, depending on the series. But I think, like, the cards are absolutely in the Yankees' favor tonight. So what do you guys think? I think the Yankees, I'm not going to give a score, but I just think the Yankees will win. I think Cam Schlittler goes at least 5 innings.
Yeah, I think, obviously, like you said, I think everybody here is going to agree. The Yankees are going to win this game. They're going to send it back to Toronto. And I think Aaron Judge has another big home run tonight. Maybe not as dramatic as the last one. Maybe still a no-doubter. Maybe to center field. I mean, I think everybody would love that.
We're getting to a point where all of Aaron Judge's home runs are kind of no doubters. Like you see, like, the certain swing that he puts on it, and then, like, when he looks the ball, like, when he really looks at it, you kind of know.
But you do need just a dominant performance by the Yankees tonight. You don't want to let Vladdy get out to an early, the Blue Jays get out to an early lead like they did last night. Yankees, Schlittler needs to silence the Blue Jays in the top of the first 2 innings, and then the Yankees in those bottom innings should just go to work, score as many runs as possible. I'm looking, hopefully, for like a 4-0 lead by the 4th inning. I think that'd be very nice. I think that would really help them. Kind of like what we saw last Thursday, right?
Yeah.
I think the Yankees win. I think they send it back to Toronto, and then game 5 becomes very interesting, because then it's, would it be Gosman again?
I think they would go back to Gosman.
It'd be Gosman probably. Versus, I don't know if Max Fried would pitch again.
Well, it comes back around to
Heel, yeah.
But it's probably a game 5 where we're looking at multiple starters.
Yeah.
Guys coming out of the bullpen. It might be like a Fried, no, maybe not Fried. I think Fried would maybe come in the game late, if they really needed it to get locked down. Kind of like a Flaherty role.
Yeah.
From the end of last year for the Dodgers.
I got to say one more thing before we move on, but David Bednar, my goodness.
Yeah, Bednar, 5-out save.
Good save.
Shout on that. That's big.
Phenomenal.
And I wouldn't doubt his availability for tonight either, because he is a dog.
He is a dog. I remember I saw an interview where he said, if they need me, this was in the wild card series, if they need me for game 3, I'm there. And he was like, and I think he pitched all 3 games.
I'm fairly certain he did. I think he came in all 3 games.
Put him back out there tonight.
Why not? He has infinite gas.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, as far as the bullpen goes, this is something that I've, and probably all Yankee fans, have been looking for. We've been hoping for a better bullpen. Nothing that, you know, like last year, you know, it was a little risky. Every time they went into the bullpen, I was a little nervous. Of course, you know, Luke Weaver did his job last year, and now he's not really doing his job this year. But I'm like, you know what? We have all of these really good options. You could put Bednar in. You could put Williams in, and he's actually doing pretty decent from what I've been seeing.
He's really figured it out over the
I'm thrilled for him.
Yeah.
Genuinely thrilled for him. Fernando Cruz is becoming a favorite of mine. I love his emotion and his passion. I feel like that's been helping him play better. And Bednar's just a dog. I love him. He's great. You know, I'm glad he's getting an opportunity to be on a very passionate team like the Yankees, and I feel like that just matches him so well. And that they're able to, you know, work on the defensive side. You know, it's not just all on the offense, and that's something that I often forget about. And everyone always tries to look at the offense, but really the defense is super, super important, especially when you're in situations like you were yesterday or even probably the past two games, but in a game like that in general, being able to limit the number of runs or at least hold them out.
Yeah, I think I'm betting, hoping the Yankees win tonight, but I don't actually think Schlittler is going to get that far into the game, just considering I was at the stadium when he got tagged for like 6 runs by the Blue Jays. Like it was not a good day, but the benefit to me right now is that your bullpen is fully available, and that goes back to Will Warren eating so many innings in game 2. Obviously not the outcome that you wanted, but he threw 4 2/3 inning there, and that kind of saved the bullpen, so the bullpen is available for today. I don't know that it's going to be as many runs that Cam gives up, but I think he's not going to last too long into the game.
All right, well, I think that wraps it up for the Blue Jays and the Yankees for now. Again, the Yankees are playing tonight as of the recording of this podcast. Lewis Varlin versus Cam Schlittler. Yankees playing for their season in their first ever postseason series against the Toronto Blue Jays.
And they're going to be, if they win tonight, they're 5-0 in elimination games.
That's
just saying.
Yeah, I mean, the last time that a team came back from down 2-0 in the ALDS was the 2017 Yankees. So, I mean, there are guys in that clubhouse, i.e. Aaron Judge, who remember what it was like to come back against that Guardians team, or that they were the Indians at the time, the Cleveland team. But the other American League series going on is the Seattle Mariners and the Detroit Tigers. The Mariners are at Detroit after they split the first 2 games in Seattle.
It's 3-2 right now, bottom of the 5th.
Very interesting. It was 3-0 Mariners for a majority of this recording until just about 30 seconds, maybe a minute ago, when Jamai Jones ripped a double that scored a pair. It's now 3-2, as Vanessa mentioned. Mariners have the lead still. That one game that the Mariners won in Seattle was their first playoff win in like 20-something years, I think. I think the number may have been like 23, somewhere in that range, which was kind of shocking to me until I remember that the last time the Mariners made the playoffs was that random sweep against the Astros that they had the one year. So, still, though, this has been easily the most interesting division series across the board. Tigers win 3-2 in Game 1. Mariners win 3-2 in Game 2. Game 3 went 8-4 to the Mariners. Mariners winning a road game after a rain delay. It was a real kind of a wild Game 3 that also wound up clashing with the Yankees game last night. They've done a good job of splitting up the broadcast so far this postseason, but the rain forced those two games to happen at the same time. Logan Gilbert tossed a gem for the Seattle Mariners. Just a really great job. But he went for 6 innings, I think. Tigers hitting, though, even after Gilbert left, Tigers hitting fell flat. Flat on their face, I would say. Just looking at Game 3 alone, you got Kerry Carpenter at the top of the Tigers order going 0-4. He did knock in a run, but 0-4 still.
It's tied now.
Colt Keith 0-3. Whoa. tie game in Detroit. Man, that series has been so interesting. But my issue with it is that it's relatively low scoring. And it's probably because of the pitching for the Mariners. It's the pitching for the Mariners combined with both teams having offenses that are very hot-cold. And both of them are just kind of cold right now. And it's why I kind of lean towards whoever comes out of the Blue Jays and Yankees series when it comes to the ALCS. Because even though the Mariners have a good pitching staff, that's really the only thing that either of these teams can hold up and say, like, we can shut down the Yankees or Blue Jays offense with this pitching. But focusing on this series in particular, obviously Game 4 is live right now. I haven't been able to pay as much attention to the other series as I would like to, just because I've been covering the Yankees so far in the postseason. But through the first three games, what have the rest of you guys seen out of these two teams? Obviously, you had home run from Eugenio Suarez after he was 0-for-8 to start his postseason. Homer for Cal Raleigh, I think last night. The Mariners hitting has like kind of been there. Last night it was clearly the best that it's been, but I don't know. These teams are just they turned out to be so evenly matched, but then are still making themselves both look so much worse than the rest of the American League that's left. Brogan, we can start with you here. What are the dangers that you see from either the Tigers or the Mariners? And like the way it's going right now, I thought we were going to be sitting here saying the Mariners are probably going to win this game and move on, but now it's tied again. So now who knows?
Yeah, I remember. I did a nosebleeds over the summer, and I think it was Shorey that asked the question. I think it was right after the All-Star game, and he said, for the second half of the season, who was your dark horse? And I said the Mariners. I didn't think they were going to come back to win the division, but here they are. I've always been high on the Mariners. I mean, Cal Raleigh, unstoppable, big dumper. But just the Mariners with him, with Suarez, with even Jorge Polanco's coming on now. Obviously J-Rod. The Mariners haven't won a playoff series since 2001. They haven't made it to the ALCS since 2001. They haven't won a home playoff game since 2001. And I feel like Seattle is coming alive. And I think Seattle's a great baseball city. The Tigers, they need to win today. They really do to get Tarek Skubal probably would pitch on
game
Friday.
Five. Yeah.
So
they definitely need to win, but I think the thought that I have, and I think like the vibe I'm getting from you is that regardless of how this game goes, Seattle's probably winning.
Yeah. I mean,
winning the series regardless.
Jorge Polanco hit two home runs against Tarek Skubal. Tarek Skubal hasn't had a two home run game in what, a year and a half? He's been lights out. He's probably going to be the AL Cy Young this year. He's unstoppable.
Yeah. Got to say though, one of the most underrated pickups of the entire season was Josh Naylor.
Yes.
Yeah.
To the Mariners, because he has been really performing, even in the postseason as well. Has a pretty solid glove over at first base too. But yeah, I think that this bottom of the fifth is still progressing. It's still tied. I don't think. There's a runner on third, so who knows? That could change if the Tigers take the lead there. It could be interesting. Vanessa and Alex, you guys have anything else from this series? Because there's honestly, I'm not sure there's that much that you can take away from it because it's so close.
I feel like the best word to use for it is just like scrappy, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's just
100%
like
agree.
Very nitty gritty baseball, and
it's the brand of baseball that Cleveland was playing,
right? And you know, sometimes that's good. Sometimes it can be a little boring, just because you know it's kind of at a standstill for multiple innings. But I feel like that's when the best baseball is played. I mean, I played softball for so many years, and my brother plays baseball down in Virginia. So I've seen it all. And when it gets to these points, I feel like that's when it can get really, really exciting. I love the Mariners. Seattle is kind of on my bucket list to go to, so it's been a team that I've looked to see. You know, I want success for them. I don't know how far that they're going to go. You know, I don't know. It's just the hitting between the two, like you said, is just very hot and cold, which doesn't really make them each team really a contender in the long run.
Well, for the Mariners, it's hot and cold.
Yeah.
For the Tigers, it's pretty much like
just cold,
cold and lukewarm.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah,
they don't get very hot, but.
I think the Mariners do have, I think in my opinion, the Mariners do have the stronger team, but you know, you never know in these situations, especially because it's so close.
And when the Tigers have a guy in their back pocket like Tarik Skubal,
right,
to go in game five.
Right.
And so like if he goes 7-8 innings, like it's probably gonna be tough on the Mariners.
It's still gonna be very
When I looked at this series before it started, I kinda was like it's gonna come down to the pitching staffs because neither of these teams are really high offense teams, which is what we saw the first two games. But I think the Mariners sort of have the edge because they have the bullpen depth, whereas Detroit doesn't really have a ton of that. And even when you look at their starters, obviously the Mariners without Brian Wu, which was kind of crazy to think that they'd still be in this position that they're in right now without him, just thinking that he was, I think, probably their ace during the regular season just based off of how well he played and everything like that. I don't know. I think that this is a game that this could be a series that 100% goes to game five. And if it's Tarik Skubal, then maybe the Tigers do win that. But I don't know that either of these teams can beat the offense that the Yankees or the Blue Jays might supply once they get past there.
Certainly not the Blue Jays, because they seem like the Blue Jays offense is consistently, it consistently puts pressure on opposing pitchers. The Yankees offense,
they do whatever they want.
As we know, they put pressure sometimes, other times they
don't.
Depends
on the day.
They'll go away for like two games and then randomly like come back because somebody hit a home run the night before and nobody else did anything. Like, the Yankees have arguably an even more hot and cold offense than the Mariners do.
Yeah.
You're not wrong there.
When they get hot, it's like a supernova in the Bronx.
Speaking about the Yankees, John Schneider in his press conference just announced that Trey Savage will be in the Blue Jays bullpen tonight if they do need him at some point.
Oh, that's, that doesn't really surprise me because they don't intend on using him to start the game in game five, so why wouldn't he be able to come out of the bullpen?
Which is
the
scary.
Only reason he is saying that is because he wants, like, I don't even know. It's a fear tactic. That's all it can be.
Yeah.
Because all he's trying to do is say, oh, this guy who has a nasty splitter and struck out like more than half your team the last time he pitched, he's going to be coming out of the bullpen tonight. It's like, okay, just don't swing at the splitter. Like, that's what I was saying the entire game in game two. I was like, just stop swinging at the splitter. It's so obvious. It's like 10 miles an hour slower than anything else he throws and dives off the plate. Like, just leave it alone. If he locates the splitter, fine. Let him get away with it. But it's hard to locate a splitter. So, like, until he does it, force him to do it. Either way, Mariners and the Detroit Tigers currently locked in it's still a tie game, I believe, in game four. Yeah, 3-3 in the top of the sixth. Mariners lead the series 2-1. They're trying to end it today. Over the National League, a first game that happens today, as of the recording, of course, at around like a few minutes, to be honest, a little bit after 5, the Milwaukee Brewers at the Chicago Cubs. Brewers are up 2-0 in the series after winning the first two games at home. Crew is absolutely rolling. Excellent hitting across the board from them. The bullpen is lights out. Cubs, I don't think we're ready. Like, it's very funny. When I put this in my notes, I kind of laughed at myself, but I said the Cubs weren't ready for the total baseball of Milwaukee. I think that's what we watch when we watch the Milwaukee Brewers, is we watch total baseball be
for
played.
Sure.
Starting pitching, relief pitching, situational hitting, hitting with two outs, like the hitting in general. It's unbelievable. The defense, it's unbelievable what the Milwaukee Brewers are able to do, and then they embrace the whole power of friendship thing. Have you seen their t-shirts?
I love it.
It's so funny. They
love
have like
it.
Power of friendship t-shirts that they wear during warm-ups. It's so funny. Jackson Churio, built for October, apparently. Absolutely unbelievable. Looking at Game 2 in particular, the Brewers started it kind of a bullpen game. They threw Ashby out there. Mears relieved him for just a third of an inning, but then the guy who got the win was the youngster, Jacob Mizorowski, the man with a 94-mile-an-hour slider, because
why
make hitting easy? You know, why would we want to make hitting easy? It's just, oh, man. He gets it all the way up to 97 when he really wants to. It sits probably, I would say, like 95 to 97, but when he's really, like, when he's pumping the fastball, the slider gets up to 97, and it's absolutely disgusting. Barely has time to move before it gets to the plate. But Shota Inaga got roughed up a little bit in that game, too. 2 2/3, 5 hits, 4 runs all earned, a couple of homers. Rest of the bullpen kind of kept things in control, except for Daniel Palencia, who gave up an extra 3 runs on top of the first 4. But the Cubs only managed 3 runs, so things didn't quite pan out for Chicago. Interesting, though, that Seiya Suzuki did put one out. He hit a homer. Hasn't really been his MO in the playoffs, but it was interesting for them to get a little bit of production out of him. I think it was a three-run homer, but that was all the runs that they got. And man, the Cubs have been confusing to me, because you look at what they did in the wild card series. They beat a very talented San Diego Padres team.
Favored to go to the World Series and win.
I mean, yeah. For me, it was between the Padres, the Dodgers, and the Phillies out of the National League.
Yeah.
But again, in that series, once we get into it, like, that's another bit of a shock for me. But I thought this Cubs team was going to put up more of a fight against this Brewers team, especially with Craig Counsell at the helm against his old team. But clearly that worked in the opposite way, where the Brewers were much more incentivized to beat their former manager in a new place than the former manager was to beat his old team. But yeah, they go into a game tonight in Chicago. But for me, I think it's Brewers all day long. Is there any realm of reality where the Cubs get back into this series?
If the Cubs score first and they continue to score, they can win this game. We've just seen the Brewers, both teams have scored first in the first inning every time, but the Cubs, I think, are not able to close out games unless they've got that much of a lead, which isn't really great for baseball. But just thinking about that, the Cubs also, I feel like, you're at Wrigley Field for game 3. Like, there's going to be energy. Maybe they take one. I don't see them winning this series, but maybe they get a win today just coming off the travel day and off day. And then the problem really for the Cubs bullpen is that they give up home runs left and right. Like, it's not, their numbers are high, and I think that is really killer for them, especially when their offense is just not scoring at all, basically.
Yeah, I think, I feel like Wrigley Field is one of the best home field advantages in all of baseball, if not the best. The Cubs, they've had, like the Yankees, they have their backs up against the wall too, and I thought that the Cubs were going to easily beat the Brewers, maybe even sweep them, but obviously that's not what happened, because the Brewers don't hit home runs a lot. They have the last 2 games, which shocked me.
And if that's actually a tool in the toolbox for this Brewers team,
they're going to the World Series.
They're going to be a problem.
But yeah, I think I wanted the Cubs to win the series. I thought they were, but I think this is it for the Cubs, and I think the Brewers win tonight. And
would that be the first? Did the Cubs sweep the Padres in the wild card? No, they didn't.
They
right. So is this the The Dodgers swept the Reds.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, is this the first sweep we've had in the postseason? But obviously, the Dodgers and Reds. I would say if Milwaukee wins this, it would be the first real sweep, because what were the Reds doing in the playoffs? But I mean, we know, but I think we've talked plenty about the Mets.
I mean, we have the funeral on YouTube.
Yeah, it's up. It's also, it appears on socials here and there. Shout out Brendan Schori, who just appeared behind the glass.
The Dodgers could go for 2 sweeps in a row tonight.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But I mean, Vanessa, anything for the Cubs?
Yeah, I mean, you guys said it best. You know, I would have loved for the Cubs to put up a fight. They've been the National League team that I've been rooting for. It's kind of a shame that it's getting to this point, but at the end of the day, we're seeing what's happening with the Yankees. They were down 2-0. they're now in their home field advantage, and it's baseball. Like, you never know, but I think the Brewers are that all-around threat. Like, everything that could work is working. So I definitely could – I wouldn't be surprised if the Brewers swept them.
I mean, and the pitching matchup is not great for Chicago either. It's Quinn Priester for the Brewers, mm-hmm. who is 13-3 in the regular season. ERA a little bit north of 3, but he's been very good all year. Versus 2025, Jameson Taillon, which is nowhere close to, like, 2021 Jameson Taillon, maybe, or, like, 2022 Jameson Taillon. A lot happens in a few years, and Jameson Taillon is nowhere close to the starting pitcher he used to be. But we shall see. That game's going to start very, very soon. But the night game tonight is the other National League series, the Philadelphia Phillies at the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Phillies in a similar yet different situation to the New York Yankees and the Chicago Cubs in that they also dropped the first two games of their series against the Dodgers. However, those were both at home. And that becomes a very serious issue for the Philadelphia Phillies because the Los Angeles Dodger Stadium is no joke. That's another very good home field advantage, especially in the playoffs. The Dodgers, I mean, they're defending World Series champions, so the place is going to be packed. There's already more celebrities in there than there were last year, just based off of the fact that they won the World Series last year, so even more pull. There are so many people in there that, like, I mean, there's 5,000 empty seats at the start of every game because 5,000 people are in a line of traffic outside the stadium still trying to get in. This is how many people come to the Dodgers games.
So Phillies score early.
Phillies need to score early. This was a bit of a shock for me. The Phillies were, like, my favorite, probably, to win the World Series.
Yeah, I had them winning the World Series.
Even with a couple of injuries, I still thought they were just so solid up and down the order, all through the pitching staff. But the Dodgers, I would say they really stole both of those games in Philly. The first game they won it a bit more handedly, not really handedly. It was very, very close. Teoscar Hernandez has been having an electric postseason, and this series particularly, he's been having a great series. The Phillies were up 3-0 in game one, and then wound up down 5-3 by the time it got to the bottom of the seventh inning. So it kind of just fell apart in Philly's hands in game one. Game two, Dodgers took the lead and then held it for a majority of the game up until the eighth inning. They took the lead in the seventh after Blake Snell versus Jesus Luzardo. That was a pitching duel for the ages. That matched probably Fried and Garrett Crochet, I would say, from that first game of the Yankees-Red Sox series. But it was Philly's bullpen that gave first, and immediately after Luzardo came out.
Sorry to interrupt, but Riley Green just hit a home run, so now it's 4-3 Tigers.
Wow. And I would, you know what? And I was going to bring up Riley Green's, like, 0-4 game earlier, but I didn't. And then he hit a home run. So I feel way better about that.
Right center.
Wow. So the Tigers take the lead. Interesting, but I think point still stands that the Mariners are going to win game five if they don't win game four. However, insane pitching duel between Blake Snell and Jesus Luzardo. Snell has been really, really good. Luzardo put on a similar performance, responsible for a couple of the runs in that seventh inning. But then he came out, things started to unravel for the Phillies a little bit, but they battled back. Eighth inning, one run. They put across a pair in the ninth to make it a 4-3 game. If Freddie Freeman doesn't make that scoop at first base, it's a tie ball game. It came down to that close of a margin in game two. So for me, I think this is night and day from the other two series that went 2-0. The Phillies, yes, they're going to LA, but I feel like they're in a much better position to continue this series. It's going to be a tough one, though, to win two in LA to force it back to Philly and then win another game in Los Angeles or in Philadelphia, and assumedly Shohei Ohtani will be back to pitch one of those games. Like, if not game four, then definitely game five. Where are you guys at with this series? Because I think this Dodgers team is a freight train, and I think it would be unwise for most teams to get in front of it. I think this Dodgers team feels like they're heading right back to the Fall Classic.
Yeah, I think that the series has honestly not gone as expected for me, just because you look at how well the Phillies played during the regular season. I'm looking at their struggles right now, and it's the fact that Trey Turner, Kyle Schwarber, and Bryce Harper have been virtually non-existent, and it goes back to last postseason too. They've batted 172 collectively in the past two postseasons, and I think that's absolutely crazy if that's going to continue. There's no way they can win like that. But I don't think the Dodgers necessarily are that much better of a team. They're just getting the hits that they need right now. The Phillies are getting really good starts out of their starters. The Dodgers are as well, but again, it comes down to the bullpen, and that's the biggest struggle for the Phillies right now. If it's not offense, it's the bullpen, just because they've not been able to keep up with a very strong Dodgers team. And I completely agree with you. I think the Dodgers right now are 100% pushing their way to getting back on top this year. I also think Rob Thomson's handling of the pitching staff has been a bit questionable. I don't understand Ranger Suarez not getting a start here, just considering how well he had a 3.2 ERA. And I think, who's pitching tonight? Oh, Aaron Nola is pitching tonight. Mm. Obviously, he has the experience, but 6.01 ERA during the regular season. So I would think season on the line, you'd turn to someone else, but that obviously is not my decision. So it'll be interesting to see what happens tonight and if this is the first sweep of the division series.
Apparently, Ranger Suarez is available out of the bullpen.
That's nice.
Tonight. So, like, Nola starting, and then they'll probably go
okay.
Nola to Suarez, because now they're in a position where, like,
you have to win.
Yeah, like, they're in the same position that, like, what we were talking about would be game five for the Yankees and Blue Jays. It would be, like, two starting pitchers go for the Yankees, maybe even for the Blue Jays. Say tonight's game gets out of hand early in favor of the Yankees, the Blue Jays probably don't bring... they don't bring that second starter out, and they save him for game five.
Yeah.
But yeah, Vanessa, what do you think here?
I mean, Alex said it perfectly. I was just about to ask if Ranger Suarez was going to be in the bullpen, if there was any way for him to be in the bullpen. I think it's very risky to put Nola out there, especially with having a 6.01 ERA. I mean, that's kind of concerning to look at, especially from a regular season perspective. And then if you're looking at the postseason, I don't know. I mean, I'm honestly surprised that it's leading 2-0. I really thought it was going to be 1-1. But, you know, like I said, anything can happen. And I just think Alex said everything that I was going to say. So.
And with the way that that game two came to an end, it felt like a Philly moment was brewing, where like they would at least tie it in that ninth. Tommy Edman wanted it. Tommy Edman would he made it interesting.
Yeah.
He was like, "Let me spike this throw to Freddie and see if he can make a play."
Yeah, I think like both of you have said, I think this Phillies team is really talented. They've got Christopher Sanchez game one, and they've had great pitching performances by their starters. It's just the bullpen that's been giving up those. If you look at the leverage, like the map for win probability, it starts out towards the Phillies at first, and then towards the seventh inning it just bolts down to the Dodgers. So I think the Phillies, if they start strong and they score a couple runs, I don't really know if it's safe because they've just blown the last couple day games with the bullpen. So, I think this series ends tonight. I think the Dodgers pull it out at home. It's crazy when you think that you've won already two games on the road and you haven't even played a game at home yet. Yeah, Dodgers win.
Yeah, they're totally set up to win the series. Maybe they don't get it done tonight, but they very well could if the Phillies' batting does not wake up. JT Realmuto is probably the only guy who's actually hitting on this team, and he's only hitting at a 375 clip in 8 at-bats. You look at Bryce Harper has one hit in seven at-bats, one hit for Trey Turner in seven at-bats. Kyle Schwarber's 0 for 7, and this is in the whole postseason so far. Stott is 1 for 6. Castellanos is 1 for 6. Max Kepler is the only other guy with at least two hits, and that's it. He's 2 for 6. Harrison Bader's batting 1,000 because he pinch hit and hit a single. Like that's where the offense is at for Philly.
On an injured leg, too.
Yeah. I think the general sentiment is the Dodgers will win that series. Milwaukee is going to take care of the Cubs, regardless of if the Phillies or Cubs take a game, maybe a pair of games. I still think it doesn't end up in their favor. Philly, honestly, if that game goes back to Philadelphia, or if that series goes back to Philadelphia, things could be different.
Yeah.
But still, I wouldn't put it past the Dodgers to go back to Philly and then win a third game in Philadelphia. Milwaukee, I think it's clearly above and beyond. Detroit Tigers leading the Seattle Mariners now. So that game or that series could wind up tied heading back to Seattle. Pretty interesting there, but I think we agree that the Mariners are probably going to take care of that one. And then the New York Yankees. Yankees in a win or go home tonight. They're giving the ball to Cam Schlittler. I'm pretty confident in the kid after the Red Sox series, but it's another game where the Yankee bats are going to determine whether or not they play again, whether or not their season continues or not. But I think that just about wraps us up this week on the Nosebleeds. Next week, we could have a Yankee funeral. We could not have a Yankee funeral.
Hopefully not.
We may. I hope we don't find out, but we are. We're going to find out tonight. But again, that just about wraps us up. Thank you so much for listening. For Brogan DiCerto, for Vanessa Casuda, for Alex Diaz, and for our producer, Max Perlman, I have been Tucker Austin, and Nosebleeds is a production of WFUV Sports.